B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. We got 1 hour till a three-day weekend, Brian.
Yeah.
But you got to answer a bunch of questions first. That's right. It's time for Ask B. Mitch Anything. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. 800-636-1067. My man Zeke has been on hold. Zeke, fire away. Ask B. something.
Yeah, okay, B, here's my question, man. As being a lifelong Skins fan, why the hell you let JP put all them damn Cowboy fans on the phone?
We wanted to hear them lie. We wanted to hear them lie today.
You know they're going to lie. They don't have IQs. They don't know what they talk about. They talk about, oh, it's a great idea. Oh, we're a better team. Come on, man. They are in self-denial. But we hate everything Cowboy.
That's why we wanted them on there. I wanted to laugh today and hear them with all them dumbass excuses they were trying to make.
Oh, man.
There's no way that they have a good.
Bunch of them?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're a better team. We need a run block. Come on, man. But I hate that you did it, but I loved it because I was laughing. And I'm just trying to find a Cowboy fan that I can kick while they're down, but they're all in hiding. That's it.
Like cockroaches.
Appreciate you, Zeke. I loved when these guys would come up with these, oh, he's lazy, and B would just shout them down.
Man, please. Lazy. Yeah, lazy win. Yeah. On the football field, to be able to do what he does, that's not a lazy dude.
For sure. Let's go to Alex in Leesburg. Alex, what's up? Ask B something.
Hey, B Mitch. This is going to be a crazy question, but I got to preface it. The drab T-shirt brought it up first. All right, do you think this mysterious object hiding behind Mars is a comet, asteroid, or UFO? It's 20 miles wide, produces its own light, and it's only one millimeter thick, and every time we try to photograph it, it hides behind the sun so we can't see it.
You asked me, was it a what? A what? Or a what?
Do you think it's a comet, asteroid, or an actual UFO like these scientists are sort of thinking the more they observe the thing?
I don't know, bro. I have no damn clue. I don't think it's a UFO.
It's called 3i Atlas, and it goes 130,000 miles an hour.
That's fast.
I don't think it's no UFO.
B, did your Bentley go that fast?
Nah, just 202.
You've got me interested now. What are your thoughts on, like, aliens?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Let them stay where they're at, and I'll stay where I'm at.
You think they're out there?
Man, I don't think so, no. If they were out there, guess what? I don't think we would not have seen them already. And only you know who sees them? People that are high are crazy. Why is it no sane person has really seen them? It's always somebody that was high or seriously crazy.
Can I interject?
Yes.
As I just stated. Technically, it is a UFO because nobody knows what it is. It's an unidentified flying object. Technically, it is. And
they haven't even seen it. They don't know what it is.
Yeah, but it's
just
flying.
It's unidentified. Why it keeps hiding behind the same little part of the sun then? If you're sitting up here telling me it's a flying object, you might want to see it in a different spot.
Hey, I'm just saying that's a little scary. The fact that they keep trying to take a picture and it moves behind a planet.
Yeah, that's
a little crazy.
Yeah, you got Jeff going with it. Jeff, go ahead. I'm gonna let Jeff go on and be worrying about it.
I mean,
I'm not gonna worry about it.
It's scientists saying it. Like we can't
bunch
you can't
of weirdos
just act like it's not there.
Well, a bunch of weirdos.
So the people that this their job to study what's going on in space are weirdos.
Hey, a lot of them are weird. Let's be real. You can't tell. Have you ever met a very, like I have told him, Tressway is the only cool punt I ever met. Tell me the scientist you met that's real cool. He's a little strange.
Oh, no. I got friends that scientists.
And they're a little strange.
They normal.
No, they're not. Yeah, you're not normal.
I know
so
that.
Your friends, they're not normal.
I know, but that's just scary. We can't sit here and fake.
Well, I'm going to sit here and say I'm not concerned about it because I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to lose one bit of sleep over it.
B, what do you think? There have been, like, legitimately, like, the Pentagon admitted that there have been, like, UFOs over the United States. They're not necessarily saying it's aliens, but there have been these, like, crazy videos Navy pilots have taken up in, like, F-16s.
Yeah, you know what it is?
Of these, like, crazy things.
It's all other. We got spy planes. Other countries got spy planes. and we say it's a UFO. Because you know what? It was UFO line. That little balloon that was flying over stuff, that was strange at first till you found out it was coming from a certain country. That's what I believe it is, because let's be real. If we had all this stuff, you think they're waiting this long to come and do something to you?
Listen, man, you know what I like is ask B-Mitch anything, because people can ask you anything they want. I did not expect to talk about aliens today, but here we are.
We're talking about aliens. Let's go with it.
800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Joop is on the line. Joop, I hope your voice is back.
That was an alien. There wasn't no way that Slam White Brian was an alien.
It might have been. White Brian might be an alien.
Fellas, how y'all feeling?
What's up, man? Fine Friday. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, listen, before I get to my question, shout out Jeff. Finally caught up with him on Madden and gave him that tie. Y'all back.
Oh, Jeff didn't come back and say nothing.
Oh, Jeff got worked.
I mean, who comes back and celebrate a loss?
Well, but you was like talking that back. You about to start. Hey, look, you came back when you won that one game.
If I was scared of the loss, I would have not have put Joop on the phone because I knew it was coming.
Well,
but
Joop,
I'm good.
Joop, tell us about it, Jeff. I mean, Joop.
Oh, yeah. Back to back.
What was the score? I don't know all that.
Man, I forgot the score. I didn't write it down. First one, it was a couple touchdowns. The second one, it was a lot closer. Yeah, I beat him by a touchdown, but for sure, he still got that tie out, though.
Yeah, it's a new game. Joop bought a different game plan. At that game, I couldn't figure it out. He got me.
Oh, so every time Jeff loses, he has an excuse, but when he wins, he just won.
I mean, who brings up a loss out of
the blue?
You sound
like a damn Cowboy fan. Don't you ever
disrespect me.
Before Joop gets to his question for B, I have a question. How long does a game of Madden take? Like, not the minutes, but like, you sit down, play a full game of Madden, is it 30, 40 minutes? How long does it take?
It depends. If it's moving pretty quickly, it could be about 30, 40 minutes. But I timed it once. It could take about an hour for a full game.
So when you played Jeff, what was it, 22 minutes?
Yeah, he had to give up on that first one. Because it got away from him. It got away.
But then right, that Joop, second game, when I caught on to him, it was different.
All right, there we go.
All right. But, yeah. So my question is, I was just curious on the Micah Parsons trade. For our standpoint, if we would have made that trade and the salary he got, could we have handled that while trying to maintain the rest of the players that's coming up on contracts next year?
The trade with Dallas, you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't think giving up two first-round picks and a player – fits into their plans and have to sign that deal with Jaden coming up soon.
From a straight cap space, they probably would have had to make some moves to figure it out because Micah's on the fifth year option, so all that stuff's guaranteed this year. Like, Micah's got a $24 million cap number this year. Technically, Washington, after the B-Rob, and honestly, the Terry deal gave them some more space. I think Washington, as they currently sit, are about $20 million under the cap, and Parsons this year would have carried $24 million. If that was ever a realistic thing, for starters, Jerry never would have traded him here. I think we got to all just kind of understand that.
Right.
They would have probably had to make some moves to make that number work, but it's not that hard. Like, they probably, I'm looking just at, like, you probably could have converted some of Frankie's money to bonus and then knocked his cap number down. Like, you could have identified a player that you want around and just kind of, like, move the piles around to make it work. But to Brian's point, I don't think giving up the picks and acquiring him it just would have – I don't know. I don't think Jerry would have done it, so I doubt they invested too much time or effort into it.
No, I got it. I figured that. I was just curious if it did happen, could we have made it work with the contract situation and our salary cap?
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Joop. Good to hear from you. Glad you kicked Jeff's ass. Let's go to Terry in Germantown. What's up, Terry?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
I got a question about NFL terminology. Brian, you could with your having played years ago in a different era. But all of a sudden, it just seems like any show I listen to or any broadcast, I hear quarterback room, running back room, linebacker room, wide receiver room. When did the rooms come into vogue as far as terminology? It's been
around for a while. It's just like depicting what they all go into a separate room for their meetings, their individual meetings for the most part.
Right.
And they just discuss it like that. That's all.
Yeah. But it just seems like the broadcasters have picked it up lately have used that.
What the players and coaches have always done it. And you're probably right that it's become more vogue because a lot of people like to use the terminologies to speak to, I guess, to speak on like I'm in. I know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I agree with that. Well, there's a cottage industry of people making money trying to sound like they know more about football than you do.
Like that's why if you hear people talking about all the different, when people start talking about the plays and the defense and what this and that, I always ask one question: what does that mean? And most times I can't get an answer. So,
yeah.
One thing
I remember, I grew up in an era where there used to be a halfback, a fullback, a flanker, and you don't hear those positions anymore. I know that offenses have changed and things like that, but yeah. That one, you know, struck out to me just like spin rate and launch angle became a big thing in baseball.
Yeah. Well, I think right now it's just you got a running back. And the guys in the slot could be a running back, but you know what? It's a receiver, a slot receiver.
Landfill, did you want to answer that question?
No, I just thought it was a really good question.
There you go. You know what I do think gave rise to people talking about the individual position group rooms and the position group meetings? Mm-hmm. I think as as Hard Knocks has become so ingrained in kind of the NFL fan culture, and over the years you got to see more and more of kind of the week meetings, and then you'd see like the linebackers coach with the linebackers meeting. Uh-huh. I think that kind of gained traction.
But just think about it. You got the locker room, the equipment room, the training room, the weight room. So if you got different positions, the running back room, the wide receiver room, quarterback room, it just fits.
Cafeteria.
Yeah, it just fits. The lunch room. You know what I mean? It all fits. But he's right. Like, you used to not hear the media people saying it, but all of a sudden it became, I guess, vogue, like he stated.
B, if we were a football team, the five of us, me, you, Jeff, White, Brian, Landfill, I assume you're going to be the quarterback. What positions are the rest of us playing?
Jeff is going to be. He's going to be
special teams.
Yeah, special teams because
he's special
because he does everything and he's special. White Brian, oh Lord,
I would easily be the running back.
No, you won't.
Who going to protect B? Who going to protect you on pass?
Landfill going to protect me. My offensive lineman. JP, I don't know what the hell you gonna be, Jay. I'm trying to think about it.
Playing some fullback.
Who's the dude like that fill up all the water bottles?
He's not gonna be no water boy. No, but I think JP got a little side to him where he could be like the linebacker.
JP would be the PR guy.
He a little straight.
He wouldn't stop talking in the huddle.
We a team. We're not dealing with the media right now. We're a team.
Jeff, so you're one of the few people.
I'm gonna put JP
at
linebacker, man. Jeff, you out talk everybody in this damn building.
I was born to do radio, baby.
Nah, it's not radio you be doing, though. You just be talking sometimes. I don't know what you're talking about.
I hate quietness, awkward silence. I hate it.
That's why I don't invite you to most places, because I know you're not going to stop talking.
If you need something that's filling, Jeff is your guy. Let's go to Warren. Warren on line three. What's up, Warren? Ask me Mitch anything. Okay.
What's that, Warren?
Oh, hello. Oh, man, I almost did a repeat. Hey, hey, B. Mitch and JP. My question is about the – I apologize. My question is about the Micah new deal with the Green Bay Packers. As far as his agent, did this agent – is he to be credited with that big contract? Did he work that out with Green Bay? you know, in lieu of not being included in Micah's first contract, did he work that second contract out?
Well, he and the agent and Green Bay had to talk, because as soon as they said he was traded, a damn deal was out there. Well, the deal was out there before the trade.
Yeah, man. David Mulligetta is a big deal.
He's a bad man now.
Like, and he's an agent that, I mean, he represents probably 40, 50 players across the league, but some of the most high profile trades, he's been
involved,
kind of the architect. The Deshaun Watson trade from Houston to Cleveland, Mulligetta was the agent involved. Jalen Ramsey's been traded a number of times. I know David reps Ramsey. So this is a dude. He's a heavy hitter, man. Like him and Todd France and Drew Rosenhaus, the guy everybody knows. Like Mulligetta is in the conversation with the absolute biggest agents in the NFL.
I think. What the ultimate thing is this. I know Jerry has said what he and Micah agreed upon. Micah also understands that it's a lot of intricate details of those contracts that you can be screwed if somebody doesn't. And David Mulligetta, he comes along and he makes sure that none of that stuff is going to bite his dude. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, we hear the $120 million, $188 million, but he got some stuff in there that probably the average person wouldn't just understand, like the average player wouldn't understand.
It's a good segue to our AAA poll of the day, the B. Mitchell Finley AAA poll of the day. How bad was the Cowboys' Micah Parsons trade? You have three choices: terrible, not that bad, or Micah had to go. Overwhelmingly, the votes are saying terrible. 78% saying terrible, 14% saying not that bad, and about 8%, you know, that must be the Cowboys fans that live in D.C., are saying Micah had to go. The AAA poll of the day is brought to you by AAA. Level up with the new AAA Commanders MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, plus exclusive experiences, discounts, and tickets. If you're already a AAA member, upgrade for free or join today at AAA.com/Commanders. All right, folks, that was Ask B. Mitch Anything. Never thought today would be Alien Day, but you never know what's going to happen when you wake up in the morning. When we come back, we got boots on the ground in Dallas. Our guy Bobby Belt covers the Cowboys, going to tell us exactly what the vibe is around the organization after the bombshell Micah Parsons trade. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. B?
Yep. Football Talk on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Shout out to our guy, Rusty, reporting the truth. Rusty in Delaware says, Jeff only reports back Madden wins when he's beating up on elementary-aged opponents. All right. Right now, time for us to get on the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We're leaving the DMV.
I'm reposting that.
We're going deep in the heart of Texas. Our friend Bobby Belt covers the Cowboys for 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. You can hear him in the mornings in Dallas on Shannon RJ. Bobby, thank you for making time. I know you are busy. That football team keeps you very busy, sir.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're just getting ready to kind of wind down and like have a quiet evening at home, and then a trade happens, and then a press release comes through that's like, hey, drive to 30 minutes to Frisco by 6:30 tonight for a press conference that you definitely don't want to miss. And so it's always fun to keep up with them.
Yeah, man. I know that life well, but maybe not Jerry well. I'm curious what the pulse of Cowboys fans is, but let's start with, I mean, you know that team inside and out. What do you make of the trade?
So, let's take it up from two. The actual fallout and culture impact of the trade, or do you mean the return they got?
Let's talk straight football to start. The actual trade.
Okay, I think that if you want to look at this, ultimately, didn't get done because of, I think, hurt feelings and trust issues and different things like that that stem from this confusion over, was it a negotiation that Jerry and Micah had back in the spring, or was it a meeting about leadership that was misinterpreted or whatever? So that everything that happened here and then ultimately led to Micah Parsons being traded comes from that meeting. And so I think over the last couple of weeks, everybody started to get a sense this was heading for a divorce. The question was just, was it going to be in the spring after the season ended, or was it going to occur right before the season? Were they going to be willing to do that? And I think Dallas kind of looked at their options and said, look, we're probably, our depth is probably strongest at edge rusher to begin with. They've invested higher draft picks in recent years in Sam Williams, Marshawn Neyland, Donovan Ezeraku this year. They signed Dante Fowler back from Washington this past offseason. And they've got some guys who can rush the passer there. So obviously Micah is the best of them, but I think they felt like their depth there is strong. They could weather that right now. And if they were going to do that, they needed to get somebody who was an interior player. So I know some people have said, why didn't you get Edgerrin Cooper from Green Bay? Or why didn't you do this or that? I think they wanted to make sure that they were getting an interior defensive lineman along with the draft capital that they got. But this is something where I think it had just reached a boiling point, and everybody felt like a reset was best for all parties involved.
But it just seems strange, though. I understand a reset, and it like you reach a boiling point, but you don't let this type of player leave at that age, mm-hmm. this early in their career. And it seemed to me, like you said, it all happened from that meeting. Jerry thought he had manipulated Micah. Micah bucked back, and he didn't like that. That's just weird to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think you're right, Beamish. Like, if it's under those terms, it doesn't make sense. And that's why I think everybody has looked at it and gone, like, what are we missing? There's some aspect of this that we're not missing, that somebody must know, that somebody's got this piece of information in their possession, or it's got to be this or that. Jerry last night, when talking about the negotiation, he had something that's not really been played up very much, but he sort of referenced it in his Stephen A. Smith interview last week. And when he was giving the timeline yesterday, he made mention of that they met, he extended an offer, and then he said that Micah left and called back and talked to Steven and gave a counter offer, and that they then worked through that and came to an agreement. So if Jerry's correct about that, which obviously it's a he said, she said thing, but if Jerry is correct about that, then that means Micah did know that was a negotiation, and it wasn't playing something over. Because if Micah came back with numbers and then countermeasures, then that would be a significant aspect of this. The thing is, just Micah's side will dispute that that's what happened. Uh-huh. And so that there's a whole disagreement there. But if that, it's from that perspective, you then, I think, can make a little more sense of, if Jerry believes that's how it went down, then I think you can sort of start to understand a little bit more Jerry's level of distrust and just not being able to say, I'm not going to go that far with you then. I can't trust you after that. And sort of the public, you know, disputes that they had. But again, Micah would dispute that, I think. I think Micah's agents, David Mulligetta and Andre Odom, I think they both would dispute it. But that sort of miscommunication, it's not unlike what's been covered in this new Netflix series of the miscommunication that Jimmy and Jerry have, where it's like, how can you guys have such massive disagreements on how something went down? It's where it's like, oh, yeah, I told Jerry to not, we're not going to play this up in front of the war room cameras. And then Jerry's like, I never said that I would ever want to play something up in front of the war room cameras. That's not how it went, or it went this way. There's all these disagreements that it's like, how can you guys be this far split? And that's why this one reminded me more of Jimmy and Jerry in their split than any of the previous contract negotiations.
See, I'm just a simple man. I'm like this. If Jerry had offered the deal he said he offered, and when he told you, if I come back and I say, I need you to talk to my agent and do this thing, I don't see what's the problem at that point.
So Jerry, the way Jerry positioned it again yesterday was, Jerry said that they agreed to the terms. Micah then said, I need to take this back to my agent. And he actually laughed, and he was like, I give him credit for it. It was smooth. But he said that they then recognized that that was Dallas's number, and that then they were going to negotiate them up from there. So they were going to come back with a number higher than what Dallas had for him. So that was Jerry's interpretation of how it went down, that it wasn't confusion, that there was an understanding of what it was. They were trying to get Dallas to say what their number was, what they would agree to, and then they were going to ask for more. Huh? And so that was kind of the setup for it. I don't I honestly don't believe that's how it went down. I don't think Micah went in there. I think Micah, what was more likely is Micah sat there, realized, uh-oh, like, a little bit up to my neck in water here, didn't mean to be. I gotta bow out of this, and I gotta get David involved.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's where things have gotten murky.
Yeah.
Talking with our friend Bobby Belt here from 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas. Give him a follow at Bobby Belt TX. Bobby joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Let's get to the other side of this thing then, because not that they're at all similar. I mean, they're different sports, different owners, everything. But I feel like Dallas fans, like folks in Dallas, are probably on edge a little after the Luka trade. And then Micah Parsons gets traded away. What is the fan reaction down there?
Oddly enough, it's actually probably a good example of why the Mavericks erred so much in blindsiding the fan base with it. Because this whole public spat that's occurred, even though most people, I think, believe Jerry's at fault in the public eye, I think most people, the fans, look at it and say that Jerry's at fault, it did effectively wear some fans down with Micah, to where they were saying, he's just, you know, he's being petty, and he doesn't even show up in playoff games. Well, like, he shouldn't be making a big fuss out of this anyway, to the point where when we took calls this morning on the show, I would say 4 out of every 5 calls said good riddance to Micah. Uh-huh. And so it was something that, yeah, like, it's something that it's, there was fatigue had set in. Exhaustion had set in with this fan base over it, to where I think they were just like, I want to be done with it. And then they start thinking more and more and going, yeah, you know what, does Micah do this? Do I like that Micah does this? You know what? And so there's still plenty of people who are blaming Jerry. They don't love Jerry in this. It's not like Jerry comes out a hero, but it more comes out they're not happy with anyone. And so I would say the majority of the fan base had reached a point where they were fine trading Micah Parsons.
That's crazy.
I'm on a text thread where I would say 8 of the people live in Dallas. Those 8 people don't agree with Jerry. Believe me that.
Oh, no, yeah. No, nobody agrees with Jerry. They just, I think they've worn tired of Micah and Jerry both.
But what they need to realize is this type of thing with Micah has happened with Emmett, but they ended up signing a deal. It happened with Michael. They signed a deal later. It happened with Dak. It happened with CD. Jerry does this to his players all the time. Micah was the first one to stand up to him and try to switch it up, and he didn't like that.
100%. That's what it is. And look, ultimately, I think Jory Epstein from Yahoo Sports had given this description a couple months ago, and I thought it was a really good way of putting it, was that typically the same song and dance is Jerry gets to win the media battle, and in exchange, you win everything in the negotiation, basically. It's not like that's how I think Jerry walks in there thinking of it, but Jerry gets to, you know, ultimately have his tussle in the media and get his attention and everything else. But then in the end, he gives them everything they asked for. Like, uh-huh. it doesn't ever look like there was a single concession from the Cowboys when these deals get done. So when you see that and you see that the player ends up getting everything that they want, then that's kind of how the whole thing went back. You're right, though. Micah did not play it that way. Micah wasn't going to just sit back and then let Jerry have that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was an ego thing or anything else. I think it just is how Micah approached it and how Micah felt about it. And so because of that, you're right. I think all the other negotiations they've had that ultimately ended with, it's the same old thing. Cowboys are going to get it done in the end. The reason why this one felt like it's not the same old thing the whole time leading up to the trade happening was because it was the first time in one of these negotiations where we've always speculated, ooh, would Dak be offended by that thing Jerry said? Is CD offended by that thing Jerry said? This is the first time where we're asking the question, is Jerry offended by the player right now? And that introduced a new dynamic that nobody was familiar with and nobody knew how Jerry would react to it. And ultimately you see it leads to something similar to the Jimmy and Jerry thing. The toast that Jimmy didn't toast Jerry in Florida in 1994 at those owners meetings, and ultimately that kind of being the final straw, you could make the case that Micah lounging on the, you know, athletic table on the sideline last Friday was a version of that toast, and how it was just, all right, that's it, we're done.
Bobby, last thing from me, dude. Now, Washington had its drama this training camp, right, with the McLaurin holdout, hold in. That ended Monday. It's all smiles. I kind of believe that it's all smiles. Everybody turns the page. in Dallas, how does this sit in that locker room? When you know CD had to battle and then finally broke through, and Dak had to battle and finally broke through for his deal. I don't know if Parsons was loved or not or what, but, like, just where are the players in all this?
I think I wouldn't say there were a ton of people who were just like, get him out. Yeah. Like it's not like torch and pitchforks or anything like that. I also don't think that this is any sort of a culture killer for most players. I think that a lot of people recognize Mike is a hell of a player, and they also recognize Mike is still learning how to be a pro sometimes in the day-to-day stuff with them. And Mike is still learning how to – there's a very viral clip back when when Mike was a rookie on Hard Knocks where he's talking to Leighton Vander Esch on the sideline. He's saying, like, I want to make the play. And Leighton Vander Esch says, yeah, but you got to know which is your play to make. And a lot of people – fans looked at that and were like, oh, Leighton Vander Esch doesn't have the spirit to go make every play. But Leighton was right. It's like there's assignments. You guys have assignments. You have jobs. And if you don't do your job or you try to do somebody else's, you hang everybody else out to dry. And I think that was sometimes the case with Micah, that hero ball would take place. And there were some teammates sometimes who I don't think loved it. I don't think teammates always loved the podcast. But I think that for the Cowboys players, nobody's just like demanding he go. Nobody was demanding he stay either. I think a lot of the feedback the team would have gotten from the players and did get from some players, some veterans, I think a lot of the feedback they got was, you guys do whatever you think you need to do.
Right. How do you expect the Cowboys to finish strong this year? I mean,
Hell no. They're picking 12th probably. Like, I don't know. They're not going to be good this year. I really believe in Brian Schottenheimer and what he's doing here. I would take Brian Schottenheimer 10 times out of 10 over Mike McCarthy. So I'm fine with him. I like what he's trying to build here, but no, they were decimated their depth last year, and they didn't have enough resources to replenish it this year. So it's a process. It's a building block. That's one of the reasons you go out and get these picks and you free up cap space too, is because it does allow you some flexibility. But it's not a rebuild year, but they're like renovating a wing of a house, and it's not totally livable. And so I think they're probably a 7-win team, and I don't know that that defense is going to be very good this year. Even before Bobby, Micah was traded, I don't know that it was going to be good.
I mean, it was bad last year with Micah. So
yeah, exactly.
Bobby, thank you for the time, bro. I know you're very busy today. We appreciate it.
All right, Bobby.
Absolutely. Appreciate y'all,
brother.
That's our friend Bobby Belt from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Appreciate him making time for us. Give Bobby a follow. He's a very good follow at Bobby Belt TX. I follow him. You should too. When we come back, we're going to make some college football bets. It's B. Mitchell Finley. B. Mitch and Finley about to slide into a 3-day weekend, baby. With the weekend. All right, we made college football picks last night. Like a true degenerate gambler, I stayed up late watching Cincinnati, Nebraska, because I had the over. And I had the miracle cover in sight, Brian. I think it was 20-17, Cincinnati driving late. They're in field goal territory. All I needed was them to kick the field goal, go to overtime. Undoubtedly, with the stupidness of college football overtime, that would have hit my over. It would have been a true miracle, and the damn kid threw an interception. Mm-hmm. So I went 1-1 on our picks last night. I know Jeff said he went 0-2.
I went 0-2. No, actually, yeah, I went 1-1. I said 0-2 because of the I thought the parlay, but I went 1-1. B went 1-1. You went 1-1, and Landini went 2-0, so he wins the
bang week. All right, Landfill's off to a hot start. All right, now we're all going to make three picks for the college football weekend. We got 3 days of college football, kind of four, really. Whoever's ready, fire away.
All right, I have picks. I am well known for my college football acumen. These are all winners. Tennessee minus 13.5, Charlotte plus 2.5, Ohio State minus 1.5.
You're taking the points with Charlotte against App?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't like that. Got to tell you that much, Landfill. I'm guessing White Brian is prepared.
Man, he can't even think.
All right, well, then whoever's ready, go.
All right, we won this week. I don't know how to choose no games today, but I'm going to take the App State against Landfill.
I like that, B.
I'm going to take Ohio State. And then I am going to take. Nope, don't want to pick them. Yeah, give me Mississippi State. Them Bulldogs.
Them Bulldogs.
Minus 13.5 against Southern Miss.
All right. I am almost ready. I have two of my three picks prepared. Jeff, you got any?
Jeff ain't got nothing ready. He ain't ready yet.
I have Ohio State. I'm taking Ohio State money line. I'm taking he took my Tennessee bet. Oh, I'm taking Baylor. I'm taking Baylor money line just to go against White Brian and Georgia Tech.
Damn, just some straight up hating on White Brian as the kid tries to work his way back from a concussion.
Yep.
You bet against Auburn?
Yeah.
Everybody should bet against Auburn.
It's Baylor Auburn tonight, right?
Right, you can't talk. We want you to give us some damn picks.
Auburn minus 2, Marshall plus 39.5, and Clemson minus 4.5.
The taking Marshall plus the points against UGA seems awfully personal, White Brian. I got to say that.
They always come out slow.
Penn State's laying 43.5 to Nevada. All right, I'm ready. Who's ready? I'm ready.
We already picked. What are you talking
about? I haven't picked yet. Well, I haven't picked yet. Then. All right, tonight, Georgia Tech, the Rambling Wreck, to beat up on Colorado. I got Georgia Tech minus 4. Then on Sunday in the Beamer Bowl, I'm taking the Gamecocks minus 7.5. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'm taking Bama, Roll Tide, 2 touchdowns to beat Florida State.
Don't JP look like Forrest Gump with that little flannel shirt on like that? He looks just like Forrest Gump, don't he?
Me and Jenny... We're like peas and carrots.
Here, life is like a box of chocolates.
For the folks on the stream, I'll unbutton my shirt a little bit as we say goodbye.
Boy, please, get a damn phone.
Let the ladies see the taco meat.
I'm cutting you off. Bye.
Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Peter Rosenberg for calling in from Paris. Thank you to Ian Harditz. Really enjoyed speaking with him. Thank you to Brendan Porath. Thank you to Bobby Belt. Thank you to all the callers. Really fun day. Thank you to Jerry Jones for trading away Micah Parsons. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. I owe you one more button, baby.